So in a moment, we'll invite up our preacher for this week. For those of you who have not yet gotten a chance to meet or know Steve Edwards, Steve is a really he's a really special person in this congregation. Steve's been a part of Eucharist since right near the beginning, both himself being involved, but also through a community of friends who've been involved in this church since the beginning. And when Steve finished up his master's at Wycliffe in Toronto and was looking for his landing place, he picked Hamilton to be a part of friendship circles and a part of the community here and a neighborhood, but also to be a part of this congregation. And so Steve's been a part of this church for over a decade and has done a fair amount of preaching and teaching in different ways over the years. And he is a part of this year's Preaching Guild, which we haven't gotten a chance to share about yet. We will in the next few weeks, but we have six people that have joined a guild for the year, and they're each going to be preaching twice over the year. Some of them have preached a great deal. Others of them, this would be maybe the first time they've ever preached a sermon in this kind of setting. And so that's something that we're excited about, to be working with a group and giving them a chance to find their voice, and also giving us a chance to hear from some different people in this congregation who God has gifted and called into this role. So we'll pray for Steve in a moment. And then we'll have Maddie come forward and read our scripture text for this week. So let's pray. God, we thank you for Steve, and we thank you for this time. Would you give us ears to hear what you are saying to your people? And would you give Steve all that he needs to be attentive and to share what you are impressing on him with us? Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Maddie. Going back, referencing to what Tosh just mentioned, the Bible's intimidating to me, so I'm stepping out of my comfort zone this morning. I'll be reading out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and then we'll jump over to John afterwards. During the time young Samuel was minister to the Lord under Eli, the word of the Lord was scarce and vision infrequent. One day, Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he could not see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was asleep in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli answered. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said, "you called me." But he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." Samuel did not yet recognize the Lord, since the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and stood there, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now I'll read from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day he decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the town of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Here is a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen. I say to you, you will see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Maddie. Good morning, everyone. Last week, Kevin introduced the season of Epiphany. It was the first Sunday of Epiphany last week. This is the second Sunday of Epiphany. And as we talked about, what happens during this season of the calendar is that we hear our stories of God's revelation in Jesus Christ as the source of the light that we celebrate receiving as a gift at Christmas. And so in our readings this season, we have stories of Christians, Israelites, and as we saw last week with the Magi, outsiders having epiphanies or revelations of Jesus and who he is. In our Old Testament passage this week, we heard Samuel. Samuel hears God's voice in the temple. In the Gospel passage, Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and then Philip finds Nathanael so that Jesus can reveal himself to Nathanael as well. Scott brought us into that imagery with the invocation this morning in that poem, so I invite you to continue to reflect on those images. Now, Philip and Nathanael's epiphany follows on from that of Andrew and Peter's earlier in the chapter, and we think that some or all four of these were disciples originally of John the Baptist, and then these four began to follow Jesus when Jesus was revealed to them as the Son of God after being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. So we have at least four early disciples here, and maybe four apostles, but that leaves us sort of with a question. You know, Tash was talking about like tests, so I'm gonna give you one of those Bible tests this morning. It's not that serious, don't worry. I'm wondering if anyone knows names of the 12 apostles. Okay, you can just shout them out if you want, or you can say, I don't know those. My notes here says me neither, so it's okay, I don't know the names either. Bartholomew. Oh, nice. Thomas. Actually, I'm going to stop you there because you said Nathanael, which actually is Nathanael's in our story this morning, and so we think he would, but he's not listed in any of the lists of the apostles. And so, no, that's not a fail. You made exactly the point I wanted to make or where we're going here, but the point is I learned that as I was studying this passage. You would think, yeah, Nathanael, one of the apostles, that's great. But I was studying this passage, and I learned that he's not listed in those lists of 12 apostles. He was still, you know, a disciple. He was following Jesus. We can see that from the story here. Philip was listed. It's possible that Nathanael was Bartholomew, but that's not important for the point. Anyway, I think Nathanael was, you know, historically real person. He was from Galilee. We could think maybe Bethsaida or maybe Cana. You know, he obviously has a rivalry with Nazareth there. He's like, what good comes from Nazareth? And someone who met Jesus and became his disciple. But that sort of whether or not he's an apostle is not actually as important to us right now as the characteristics of who or how Nathanael is presented to us in this story. That's, I think, something we can pull on as a thread. So in my study of this passage, I learned that Nathanael is important because he can be seen as an example of Jesus' epiphany to the people of Israel. Nathanael stands in here as a paradigmatic representation of Israel or an Israelite. Jesus even says to him as he's approaching, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Other translations of that saying say, here is a true Israelite. So he's very much representing an Israelite. And then that goes further. You know, Nathanael asks Jesus, how do you know me as a true Israelite? How do you know me? And Jesus responds, because I saw you under the fig tree. And this is more than just like I have revelatory powers. I can see you hanging out under fig trees. That's not just what's going on here. There's that. But early interpreters of this passage have actually helped us understand that this under the fig tree phrase was sort of significant in the Jewish context. It usually implied reading the law and the prophets, so it was sort of like a euphemism for going and studying scripture, studying the Jewish scriptures, something, you know, a true Israelite would do according to their tradition. And then Jesus takes that even further. Nathanael responds because he says, oh, you saw me under the fig tree, then you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. That's a strong response, but Jesus then says, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This brings us back to that poem, Jacob's Ladder. So again, that might sound like odd language. Why are we talking about ladders? As Scott told you, this was actually from Genesis 28. It's recorded as a story early in the formation of the people of Israel, who they were. Their forefather Jacob, whose name actually becomes Israel, had a dream where he saw angels ascending and descending up and down a ladder. And some interpretations, again, have it that it may be ascending and descending upon him, Jacob, upon himself, ministering to him in some way. Through the gate of heaven, God, Father God, their creator, encountering him, having an epiphany of God. And this image of the angels ascending and descending becomes representative for Israel of fulfillment of God's promises, his reaching out to minister to them via his coming into the world of his creation and acting to bring about good. And so I think in a fun and faithful, imaginative move, as early interpreters were engaging with this scripture, back to John, I'm talking about this Nathanael passage. This is to say that they believed that Nathanael was under the fig tree studying this exact passage from Genesis 28. So Jesus says, well, so he's taken it even further. I saw you under the fig tree, meaning I saw you reading and studying scripture. And I know you were reading about that story of Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending and descending and coming to meet you. And let me tell you that you will see that promise fulfilled. And so Jesus starts saying this. In place of Jacob at the bottom of the ladder, though, Jesus puts himself. And you remember in that passage, he says, the angels of God are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which in John and some of the other Gospels is typically how Jesus refers to himself. So in Jesus' epiphany to Nathanael and his revelation of himself to Nathanael, he not only reveals, you know, that he had foreknowledge of Nathanael, I saw you. He knew that Nathanael was a true Israelite because he was studying the law and the prophets. But Jesus is also continuing to reveal something greater here. He's revealing that he himself fulfills the role of the calling of God's people Israel as the center of God's miraculous angels ministering to the world through him. That was calling put on Jacob, then calling put on the people of Israel. It's imaged by this ladder, and then Jesus is saying, I'm here to fulfill that. So let's time as a flat circle this here for a second. Or, you know, Kevin talks about the spiral. We think of the spiral with the calendar, where sometimes we're sort of closer to times that are thousands of years away than we are to, you know, last year. So let's work on that type of interpretation here. Let's jump through time with some interpretive moves. Jacob, we had in the passage about the ladder. He figures Israel. Israel, restored by the Messiah, the one they were hoping for, figures the new humanity. The new humanity gets talked about in Isaiah and all these prophets, the restoration of God's people. God's people restored to right relationship with him. And then Jesus fulfills this, and his disciples, in fulfilling this, form the church, God's people. And so Jesus both inaugurates the new humanity and makes it actually possible by giving to these people, by giving to the church, his spirit, so that the church might enter into relationship with God the Father through his person, that is Jesus, as the Son. Now, I blaze through that, but all this interpretive work, I think, helps us receive this gospel story in the following manner. We, as God's people in the church, can see ourselves in the character of Nathanael. So we can picture ourselves at the bottom of the ladder because Jesus brings us to that place. Picture ourselves receiving an epiphany of God, promising to minister to us with his angels as they descend and ascend. We hear Jesus say, I see you, and I know you. I know you as that person without deceit, without duplicity. So please hear that today as part of the good news that you hear. Jesus, the uncreated one, one with the Father God, has come into his creation and revealed himself to us as he did to Nathanael. And he says, I have seen you. I know you as one of my own. I've seen your faith in struggle and in times of not struggle and in times when others are carrying you. Jesus reveals himself to us and he declares that the promises that we hear of in these stories set forth for his people and for the world will be fulfilled. As it says to Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. That epiphany is something we receive too here. You will see greater things than these. So as you draw that to the top of your mind, picturing yourself at the bottom of that ladder, that stone rough ladder that the poem was bringing us to, what are the greater things that you are hoping for? What is it that you are waiting for? What are the promises of God that you have been dwelling on? Where do you want angels ascending and descending into your life to come to bring something new that needs to change, breaking into our creation from this transcendent reality of who God the Creator is beyond us? What do you wish for, and what about for those you love? What do they need? What prayers are you waiting for an answer for? I'm sure there are many of us waiting for an answer to prayer for health, for our bodies, for our minds, for an end or at least some kind of positive movement in a significant step function way with the housing crisis in our city. For reconciliation in our relationships that seem broken, for a miraculous change in someone's mental health that may sort of just seem like something you have radically accepted, some new way of having better sharing of economic resources here in our city, in our church. And so I think we can be invited to hear Jesus say, you believe I am the Son of God because I knew you under the tree. I saw you under the tree. Well, you will see angels of God ascending and descending to break into your life and to your world and to see this promise fulfilled too. So that is good news. I'm thankful for that. And yet at the same time, we might recognize that there's a little bit of nuance there that we want to be honest about. A couple different aspects of nuance there is that we have collectively, I'm sure here, we have a lot of promises that we want to be fulfilled. And yet, mostly, we might feel like we're kind of just stuck waiting for them. I know some of us may have recently received the gift of fulfillment of a promise, and you are rejoicing in that. But I would say probably the disposition most of us sit here in is that we are just waiting for something to happen. And we don't quite understand God's timing. I don't, certainly. And not to mention, some of these promises that we desire require such a radical break from reality as it is now that we know we need Jesus to return in some kind of definitive and transformative way for them to be fulfilled. There needs to be something beyond our imagination in order to transform things the way we would want. So really, in many ways, we need to acknowledge that we are very much stuck waiting. And so there is a reminder as we receive this epiphany of Jesus' revelation of himself to Nathanael, his revelation of the fulfillment of his promises, that this is, as God's people, our primary vocation as a church together, is to wait for God to act. We wait together as God's people for him to act in miraculous ways. And it's not a passive waiting where we do nothing. There's a lot we do while we wait. There's a lot that we do while we recognize that what truly needs to happen in the world is not something we can do ourselves, but we're still in the world waiting for God to come in those places that we are, that we know need transformation. Anyway, that's a different sermon, but second nuance, Nathaniel, he seems to have faith pretty quickly, right? Like at first, he's pretty standoffish that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm not sure I always have faith like that, quickly or at all. I'm sure not always feel like we can have that faith, like as we're waiting. It can be hard out there to have faith, eh? So what then do we do? I mean, and so yeah, Nathaniel, it seems like in the way the story comes to us, turns around pretty quickly, but he doesn't actually have all that much faith at the beginning. Philip comes to him and he's like, we found the promised one. This is great. All our promises will be fulfilled, the Messiah. And Nathaniel's kind of like, from Nazareth? I don't think so. Like, I'm not so sure. I don't believe that. Nathaniel needs at least two things to be able to step into some small measure of faith. He needs a friend, Philip, to share in his life with him, such that he might be in a position to see Jesus. And he needs an epiphany. He needs a revelation. He needs something to go on from Jesus that he is who he is. That he is who he says he is. You know, I saw you under the fig tree and all the implications there. That gives Nathaniel an epiphany, an experience of Jesus. And from there, we can sort of have faith for a lot of the other things that we are waiting for. But we may struggle waiting for God's action to fulfill his promise because we're not even sure if God is who we come here to say he is. We're still waiting. Some of us are waiting for that first epiphany, something that kind of strikes us. And that's fine too. What I would encourage us to do is to be close enough together in life so that we may know and be involved in one another's stories, to help each other hear God's voice in them. The voice, you know, Samuel. Jesus is calling to Samuel in the temple there. But Samuel had no frame of reference for the idea that God might speak to him. Maddie was reading the passage that says the word of the Lord was scarce. Visions were not widespread at that time. There was sort of this sort of like temple function going on, but it's like, we're not really sure God is here. And thankfully, Eli was there. Now, Eli has just a smidgen of the idea that it could be God actually saying something. It might be God speaking into Samuel's life. And he suggested as much to Samuel, go back and say like, hey, God, okay. And so Eli is able to lead Samuel into a new relationship of faith there, giving him the possibility that it might be God who's speaking. And by no means is Eli any good faithful minister of God's word. He has awful sons. He himself lets them sort of abuse their power as priests. So the reason I say this is because it's not like we have to be perfectly faithful in order to be close to one another in our lives to say like, hey, might that be God's voice? We can do this for each other in this community of God's people, and we don't need to convince each other of God's undoubted reality or truth. We want to be, or I'm encouraging us, I want us to be present enough with each other in our stories that we could remain open to the possibility of God speaking to us in them. And we want to be active in the world outside of the church here, in the places where we know need that change, in the places where we're waiting for that change. Because we want to be present there when God shows up to act in miraculous ways. And then we can be able to possibly recognize that it is him and receive that epiphany ourselves. So that's my prayer for us this morning. And may you have God reveal himself to you in Jesus. Amen.
Come God.